Lottie Dottie. Lottie Dottie. Lottie. You know what? Yo, peep this. Lottie Dottie. We like the party. We don't cause trouble. We don't bother nobody. We're just some men that's on the mic. And when we rock up on the mic, we rock the mic. For all the y'all.
That felt good.
Y'all
That's all I can say. That
okay,
felt good.
Okay. Get you pumped up, right?
That felt good. I don't know about Mike, but I don't know. Mike might be too young to remember that.
Slick Rick. I know Slick Rick.
Okay, all right.
Got you, Ken.
That felt good. That felt good. I know somebody else gave you that. I know you ain't got that nowhere
hey,
in your
man.
Car.
Fort
or in your
Bragg,
house.
North Carolina, Ooh. Man. 1985, 86, 87.
Yeah, I hear you.
Kicking it.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, look, we're back. Soul Take Champions Live, coming to you live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Special guest in the house, Hall of Famer Mike Booth joins us. We're talking about all kinds of stuff, and we just kind of wrapped up. So I guess we concluded that you would kneel, and I would kneel, and Kevin wouldn't kneel, and to each his own, and everybody has a position. But the ultimate goal is that enough noise, attention, disruption helps bring about an end to the senseless murders of innocent black men at the hands of police officers, but also, as I always offer after saying that, this senseless shooting of our own people on our own people,
black on black,
terrible.
That's got to stop too. You know, no sooner than
we get hit from all angles.
Yeah, if you remember the irony of after the last several protests here in Pittsburgh for the young man that was killed in East Pittsburgh. Two nights after that, there was another black-on-black shooting. So, you know, the irony of protesting innocent young black youth killed at the hands of a police officer, and then 2 days later, a black youth shoots another black youth, and just recently, that young 15-year-old was found in Wilkinsburg
in the alley.
If a 15-year-old is found shot in the head in an alley, I don't know how many people paid attention to that, because we always hear about a shooting or a victim found. But a 15-year-old boy who seemingly had a fine life and seemingly was not disruptive, and by all accolades, now only reports that we're getting that he was a good kid, but a 15-year-old kid found shot in the head in an alley.
Yeah.
That's disturbing.
Yeah, but Bill, what should never happen? I know you talked about black-on-black crime and police brutality. What should never happen? The people that are supposed to protect you should not harm you.
Agreed.
And that's the big difference with police brutality and black-on-black crime.
Agreed.
So, you know, we need to keep that in mind. A lot of times the people that do not like the protests and everything try to use that as a lame excuse. Of course, that's an issue in our communities and our society that needs to be resolved. But it is a lot different than police brutality that needs to stop. And what makes us mad as black people in America as well, when we see incidents occur like out in L.A., I think it was Trader Joe.
Yeah.
When the guy went in and shot and actually killed someone in Trader Joe. And they did not shoot that individual.
He was arrested and he'll do his time and he'll see a judge, but he's alive.
Right. And a lot of school killings as well. How many of those kids actually survive? You know, they go in and shoot up a school, which is terrible. But out of all people that should be taken down should be those individuals. And you have our people that are innocent, and we have the unfortunate situation of being killed.
Well, let me move this thing along just a little bit and ask you to do a very, very quick recap on your Penn State football situation. And we'll ask Mike, since he's wearing the West Virginia logo, if he can give us an update on what his Mountaineers are looking at this year. Let's do that real quick. But I did want to ask Mike, when we leave, I got some Pitt stuff in the car if you need.
Oh, no, I'm just that's saying. Okay. This. West Virginia.
I thought it was blue and gold, Mike. What's up with the black
and
white, man?
This is sideline gear. You know, this
side
is top
gear?
Yeah, this top-notch rain gear, sideline gear.
Day.
Okay.
They all change colors.
Change colors just to try to make money, right?
That's what it is.
That's what it is, yeah.
Focus on the WV. That's all we need. But give us a quickie on where the Pitt and Penn State are, and let's see if Mike can tell us where West Virginia is.
You know what? Before I do, Bill, I want to talk about the situation that I brought up earlier with Ryan Shazier, and I mentioned that there's a similar situation that occurred in another sport, in baseball. And I'm not sure if you heard about it, Bill, but St. Louis Cardinals pitcher who had brain surgery after being hit in the head, he actually tossed a seven-inning no-hitter for St. Louis the other day. Now, he was actually hit in the head, and his name is Daniel Ponce de Leon. He's 14 months removed from suffering a life-threatening injury when he stepped on the mound in Cincinnati for his first major start. And as I mentioned, he tossed a seven no-hit innings on Monday night. And he was actually hit in the head in the right temple by a line drive on May 9th, 2017. So this is a little bit more than a year when he was pitching for Triple-A Memphis. So he suffered a fractured skull, which caused bleeding in the brain and required emergency surgery. So, you know, you have to really applaud Daniel for his comeback, and he actually did well. But you brought up the point with Ryan Shazier. How could you do that? How could you step on the field and play football again after suffering the type of injury that he suffered? But I think it would be very similar to this St. Louis Cardinals pitcher. How do you stand on the mound and throw a 90-mile-per-hour fastball and have a batter in the batter's box striking that ball?
Yeah, I think that it's a little bit different. But let me just say this. I've always wondered how pitchers do it. You know, almost effortlessly in pitching and not being concerned about getting hit. I know they started out at such a young age, it becomes so repetitious to their muscle memory that they do it. But I've always applauded pitchers who can stand in there with that ball coming back at you
just as fast as you threw it.
Just as fast at any given moment. But I think it's just and just a little bit different, Mike. You might agree that for that pitcher who got hit by that ball, yeah, that's huge. But it's a little bit different when you're the person delivering the blow. I think that for the football player who's delivering a hit, I think it's even different than a football player who must remember the injury when he gets hit. Like, if you get that hit in the leg and you remember that, I think that's different even still than when you're delivering, because when you're delivering the hit, you have to have the consciousness of knowing I'm about to lower the boom and I might do to myself again what happened. So I think it's a little bit different when you're delivering it versus when it's coming at you ever so slightly. I mean, ain't none of it no day at the beach, but yeah, I mean, in a year to come back after that and even be in the park.
Right, applaud that. That's great. That's great. Doctors, you know, medical people got it early, took care of it early, and he's about pitching.
And another reason why guys got to get paid big money, because and people sometimes, I always say about this, people, oh, he doesn't deserve this and he doesn't deserve that. First of all, if you're the custodian at the U.S. Steel building or wherever, and somebody comes to you and says, I'm going to give you 10 times the amount of money you're making now, you're taking it. So shut up about athletes asking for money. Everybody that would have a chance to make more money would make more money. And most of y'all just jealous and mad because you can't do what those cats can do. You know, the less than 1% of all the people on the planet get to be professional athletes because they have a skill set other people cannot have no matter what they do. So you got to quit hating on cats who are trying to get their money. But I do want to get you to please go back and wrap up that Pitt Penn State.
Well, regarding Pitt football, hopefully we, because I'm a Pitt alum, and hopefully we'll have a lot better season this year than we had last year. Now, we're talking
about a different quarterback.
We do have a different quarterback.
We'll have a better season.
Well, hey, I don't know. We'll see. But a 5-7 team from 2017, and I believe that they had a fairly young team, so we should have more experienced guys coming back. And from what I hear, the linebacker position, your position, Mike, should be a lot stronger, because now You know, it's a big difference practicing versus playing an actual game. So they have more game experience. And we need to get someone in here from Pitt as well to actually go more in depth. But right now, the predictions for 2018 do not look good. And one of the predictions that were actually made not too long ago, that Pitt would actually finish fifth in the ACC Coastal Division, with Miami being the first place team. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think Pitt upset Miami last year. That was one of their big wins. And then over, because ACC is broken down into two different divisions, and the ACC Coastal, I mentioned them, so Miami would is projected to be the winner. And then on the other side, the Atlantic Division, Clemson is expected to be number one.
When does Pitt come out of this tunnel, man? When do we climb out of this tunnel and get back to national notoriety?
Well, I think Narduzzo is...
He's in his sixth year?
I don't think it's the sixth. I want to say probably fourth. But I'll look that up just to make sure. But I think
it's fifth or sixth, because my cousin Denny Briggs is in his fourth year.
He's in his fourth. Okay,
yeah, so this might be his fifth year. But
time flies,
and I like him. Great personality. Great, you know, good coach. And I know it's all about talent, but at some point they got to climb out of this continual 5-game, 6-game, maybe 7-game win thing. And get back into and look, you're in the ACC. There ain't no turning around.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it as well. ACC, you think about the ACC, you think about the ACC as a basketball conference. Okay, not so much a football conference, but I guess over the last 5 to 10 years, they strengthened themselves as well on the football side.
Yeah. What's on the horizon for the Mountaineers, Mike? Any idea? Do you stay in touch?
I stay in touch with a lot of former players and a couple coaches down there. I know the equipment manager and a couple other guys.
You still go to the games?
I still go down to some of the games. I'm always a Mountaineer. Invite us down anytime. But playing in that conference, you know, that's a wide open conference what they're playing in. And I think this year, quarterback, they got a top rated wide receiver, Steels. So I think with those two guys, it's putting points on in that conference. So that's pretty much it as far as I know. They got a lot of guys coming back, but I know the quarterback and the wide receiver, they're projected to be top guys in the conference down there.
Let's do a flashback for a moment for somebody you know a whole lot about. Rumor has it that he kneeled on the 20-yard line in a NFL scouting situation and threw the ball 80 yards on his knee.
You must be talking about the Major Harris.
That's all I can be talking about. The only person I can be talking
that
about.
Must be.
Is that accurate? Is that legend true?
That's legend true.
So you certainly, you know, that's your boy, and we love him, and we inducted Major into the City League Hall of Fame the opening year. But is Major Harris still an impact name at West Virginia?
Oh, he can go down there and run for mayor and probably finish second. I mean, a lot of people still, you know, love Major, and you know, he was one of the top quarterbacks to come out of, you know, to West Virginia and got them national notoriety, you know, Heisman candidate. So he comes back. We drive down together. We go down and visit a few, you know,
that's
few
gotta
people
be special.
Go
that's
to a few games, special, but he's man. Like the mayor. You got to get there 2 hours before kickoff, because he'll sign every autograph, which, you know, that's the way he is. But we'll never get through the parking lot. We never watch the game.
How's he doing? How's he doing these days?
He's doing well. Yeah, he's doing well. I think he's a golfer too. You know, get back to, you know, what y'all going to talk about Tiger, yeah. But he's a golfer. He's a dude that's pretty good at golfer. Just as well as he was on a football field and basketball.
That's good to know. We have to get him in the summer.
Do you golf, Mike?
No, I think I'm going to probably just start taking it up.
Okay. Great sport.
It'll humble you, I heard that.
Oh, big time.
Kevin's a big time golfer. Big time. What did you just win, Kev? You just won
the Q's tournament.
Okay.
They do it in flight, so I just wanted to be flight. So I'm trying to move myself up, you know, to the 8th flight and championship flight. So.
But then you get it. You're getting ready to go on some kind of level.
I'm actually doing the amateur tour that is coming up. Okay. So the Golf Channel amateur tour. So I plan on being tested and see what happens. So I just love to compete. So hopefully I'll do well.
So I just wanted to finish up this thought. So all those Major Harris legends of throwing the ball 80 yards on one knee and it's safe to say that Major was a little bit ahead of his greatness preceded. You know what I'm saying, Mike?
Yes, like, correct.
If he had come along another five years later.
Give him 5 years. He would have
been a whole different thing.
A whole different thing because of the type of quarterbacks that are now the NFL drafting is the type of quarterback Major was when he was in high school and also in college. Hey, quarterback who can run, get out the pocket, quarterback can stand in the pocket and make those 60-yard throws, those 7-yard, soft throws across the middle. He was way ahead of his time.
I like Major Harris. Anytime I see him, man, he's got a big smile and I think rumors of his demise a short time ago, it kind of got around that, and I know that people thought that he might not come to the Hall of Fame induction. And when he walked in the room, man, with that smile, the place exploded. I've always liked him. I've always respected his talent, and like a number of guys, like a Major Harris, a Sonny Lewis, a Jeep Kelly. A number of guys that greatness was just eluded them ever so slightly. So if Major hears this, we send a shout out and got to get him on this show.
Definitely get him.
And then now that we know he's a golfer, we got to try to line him up with some celebrity golf outings with you, man.
Yeah, well, definitely need to do that.
Yeah.
Definitely. But to get back to Pat Narduzzi.
Yeah.
Number of years at Pitt. This is his fourth year.
This is 4 years.
So okay. He actually went to Pitt at... In the year 2015.
So, all right. So, I guess.
And he's 21-17.
I guess we're waiting.
His career record. Waiting. So, I think he has Pitt on the right path. I think he could really move the program forward this year. Need to have a winning year. I think that will go a long way in a decent bowl game.
Right.
And he does everything else so well that he's probably anchoring in there pretty good. He takes care of the off the field circumstances. He disciplines his players. He's got great personality and great charisma. So I think he does everything else so well that it kind of covers up a few of the blemishes that people are waiting for. But man, it's time to see Pitt get back on that national platform. Right. So to wrap this up, anything new?
I mean, we didn't talk about Penn State.
Well, I said to wrap this up. Is there anything new with the Nittany Lions?
Penn State, Big Ten. I don't know. I try not to follow Penn State.
Come on, man.
Since I'm a Pitt guy, so Mike, I'm not sure if you can help me out. If you heard anything, what's going on in Happy Valley? I know they had two consecutive years of 11 win seasons.
Right.
And they expect to do pretty good from what I hear.
Well, I know for a fact, they're in that Big Ten, they're one of the teams that everyone's knocking at now. And I mean, they go to two major Bowl Six championships, subdivision championships last year and the year before last. So, they played in that top six. So I guess they're looking to finish in top one or two and, get invited to the national championship party.
Yeah. And isn't it funny how things happen? I mean, just, was it 8 years ago, 6 years ago, the Jerry Sandusky situation was occurring and Penn State would never get back on top.
Right.
And they would have all these recruitment problems and Pitt would be the team now in Pennsylvania where all the recruits would go to. And never happened.
Never happened.
Never happened.
Well, my two cents on Penn State is this, which is where I wanted to go my entire life.
They still can't be Pitt, though. Let me put that out there.
Okay, well, no argument.
Because, regardless of what kind of team Pitt has, it seems as though Pitt normally wins more than Penn State.
Rise to the occasion. Well, I was about to make
reference to
the fact that they have a great program. They're major Big Ten competitors.
Every year.
They are the best recruiters in the nation, and all you got to do is ask their head coach, and they'll tell you all those things are true over and over again.
And where is he from?
Well, I don't know where he's from, but he got some roots in the hill.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
He was from the Hill District. That's what his father.
His father's from the Hill. I don't know if he's from the Hill or if he lives.
He's just trying to get some street cred.
Well, I don't know.
Is that what's going on?
I don't know if he needs it because he's kicking butt up in Happy Valley.
Yeah.
And they're happy again. So we got to give credit where credit's due.
Is the Big Ten a good conference?
Big Ten's a good conference. It's a more physical conference. I mean, a lot of teams play each other tough. And when you play, you know, Big Ten football, you're gonna get hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Penn State is one of those ones that they're up there bringing a lot of good recruits in, and I think they finished in the top 5 or 6 in recruiting class, top 10 in recruiting class this year. So, you know, look out for Happy Valley again. Penn State's, you know, they're on the map.
Best conference in America, in your opinion, is?
You know what? That's a hard thing to say. Everyone's SEC.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard not to say it.
And I can't stand Alabama. And the people that know me understand I can't stand Alabama.
Well, and I'm glad you offered that because I did want to ask Mike. Mike, ever have any trouble at West Virginia? I mean, it's a little Southern.
When
you were there, there any issues?
No issues. I think we had some things that happen outside of campus, but pretty much on campus, no issues.
But
I mean, you need to ask some fans that question. I mean, when you're a player, it's a lot
that's
different.
True. That's true.
You know,
right. True.
Yeah.
But he would
hear
about it. I mean, he would know if there was.
Especially if you're a Pitt fan.
Or if you're walking down a street in West Virginia and something is said, they don't care if you're a player or not.
They don't care.
Any of those kind of circumstances?
No, we didn't have any. As far as, you know, my experience down in, you know, Morgantown, I didn't have any experience like that.
That's one of the great things about sports as well. Normally, you know, sports bring the races together and, you know, all kind of people, and it just makes things – normally it makes things better. Not saying there's never been issues because there's been issues, but normally it brings people together.
Well, I can tell you this. In 1970, I went to football camp in West Virginia. And
at the old Mountaineer Stadium.
Yeah, and in 1970, and got called all kind of names.
I'm sure.
So, of course,
were a fan, though, right?
No, I was a player at football camp. And to be very honest with you, you know, I can remember, you know, 200 kids in camp, maybe – 10 black guys in the whole camp, and we had to deal with some stuff. So, I mean, that's 1970 versus 1990.
And you weren't a West Virginia player.
No, not at all. We were at a
football still wasn't
camp.
A good situation.
Just those guys coming from those areas and the mixing. Again, early 70s, that's a different time, a different mentality, but there were issues that we had to deal with, and there were confrontations that we had, even though we were all football players in the same football camp. But I would offer this, too. We might have had more incidences in Slippery Rock and at that time than you guys might have had down there.
That's out there as well.
I mean, because
that's in the boomies also.
Then was trying. We actually had to shut down the town. Different story for a different time.
Let me bring this up, Bill. And
and the town is only as big as his room. But
since Mike is a local guy. And we could talk about it a little bit more on the other side of the break, but just to start it up, from a University of Pittsburgh standpoint, and I know you were recruited by Pitt also and decided to go to West Virginia, but let's talk about recruiting at the University of Pittsburgh, both on the basketball side as well as the football side, because you have some people that say just based on where Pitt is, it's hard for them to recruit. And given that they share a stadium, you know, with the Steelers and versus West Virginia, for example, where, you know, all of the games are played on campus, you know, that's the only thing that's going on
the Saturdays.
In West Virginia at Morgantown. So it's a big difference between West Virginia football, West Virginia basketball, and then Pitt. So I would just like to hear your perspective on the other side.
No problem.
You know, regarding, you know, do you think it's an obstacle or do you think it's something that Pitt could overcome to actually get the players in that they need to have a winner?
Well, coming up in the last segment, we'll answer some of those questions. What Kevin really wants to ask you, but he's scared. He wanted to ask you, did you burn your couch while you was down?
Oh, we probably burnt them down. Big game.
I wasn't
going
to bring
wins.
It up, but Kev wants to know. When we come back, let's address that recruiting situation, and let's start answering it by asking Mike to give us an update on his coaching career and then let that flow into the recruitment process that you speak of. We'll do all that in a matter of moments, and then you get to come back and hear another one of Kev's great collector's items from his musical background. DJ Smooth, we call him. We'll be right back in a moment.
Tune in weeknights at 8 p.m. for The Nightcap, your favorite slow jams for lovers. Or maybe you want to sit back, relax, and unwind. After a long day at work, you'll need a nightcap. So relax. We'll handle the rest. It's The Nightcap on Urban Media Today Radio. Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email Mary Jo at RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.